The Gone Cold podcast may contain violent or graphic subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
This is part 2 of 2 of the mysterious murder of Jennifer Harris. If you haven't already, we strongly recommend listening to part 1 before going any further here. Here's a brief synopsis of part 1. At the tail end of a troubled marriage to her lifelong sweetheart, Rob Holman, 28-year-old Jennifer Lynette Harris began seeing another man, James Hamilton. Hamilton, however, was no prize, and we'll explore that later. Holman and Jennifer divorced, and Hamilton moved into her home in Louisville, Texas, a Dallas suburb. But Jennifer began longing for her ex-husband again, and in no time the two were having an affair. The business James Hamilton and Jennifer Harris had together failed, as did their relationship, and she moved back to her hometown of Bonham, Texas, where her ex-husband, Rob Holman, lived. Though Jennifer was attempting to reconcile with Holman, it's likely the Chapter 7 bankruptcy she was forced to file when her business failed had just as much an impact on her decision to move back home. 6 months after Jennifer Harris returned to Bonham, which is in Fannin County, she vanished. It was Mother's Day 2002, and her ex-husband claimed that she wanted to be with him that day, but he refused. Holman said she got mad at him and visited a friend instead. At a little before 8 p.m., Jennifer told her friend she had to go, that she was meeting someone, though she did not say where or who. The following day, Monday, May 13, 2002, Jennifer's grandmother reported her missing when she didn't return home. Her Jeep was found later that day, abandoned on the side of Country Road 2610. But Jennifer was nowhere to be found. Both her ex-husband and recent former boyfriend were questioned, as were others who knew her, friends and family. 6 days after she disappeared, on Saturday, May 18, 2002, Jennifer Harris's body was found floating in the Red River, which is the Texas-Oklahoma border. Jennifer was the victim, it was ruled officially, of a violent homicide. Though it was technically Oklahoma's case, all of Red River is their jurisdiction. Jennifer's body was taken back to Fannin County, Texas, after autopsy in Oklahoma City, and the murder case with her. Jennifer Harris's body was unclothed and muddy when it was found, her left ear missing, and her uterus was gone. Though blood tests showed no indication of pregnancy, there were signs that Jennifer thought she was pregnant. She told a friend so, and also told that friend it was her ex-husband's baby. Her father found pregnancy tests in her bathroom. The rumor mill in Bonham had decided that Rob Holman had killed Jennifer Harris because she was pregnant, and it would have ruined the relationship with his girlfriend. Fannin County Sheriff's Office investigators, too, led on that they were fairly certain they knew what happened to Jennifer. But her body had been floating in the Red River for days, and physical evidence was elusive because of that, and for other reasons we'll get into. After a year, authorities were no closer to solving Jennifer's mysterious murder, but a witness who came forward with a story of her own got the case heated back up. A year after the murder of 28-year-old Jennifer Lynette Harris, the case had all but gone cold. But when a woman named Deborah was watching the local news and a story about Jennifer aired, things got moving again. After Deborah saw the story, she phoned the Fannin County Sheriff's Office with something potentially huge. On the Mother's Day that Jennifer went missing, Deborah and her mother, she said, were driving across the Red River Bridge at approximately 5 p.m. As they did, Deborah claimed, they saw something troubling involving a woman with what she described as reddish-brown hair. There was three guys out there and a girl, and two guys had the girl by her elbows. It was like she was trying to get away from them and they were restraining her, Deborah told investigators at the sheriff's office. I made eye contact with her and she was scared, Deborah continued, terrified look on her face. My mom seen her too and she said, that girl's fixing to get raped and killed. But Deborah never called to report what she saw because, she said, she was too scared. Some believe Deborah's account changes everything, especially those who suspect her ex-husband, Rob Holman. Before Deborah, many believed only Holman held the secret to what happened to Jennifer. But upon this account being told, new hope was gained, because it meant two other people know. Deborah claimed that after seeing a photograph of Jennifer Harris, she knew right away she was the woman she and her mother saw being attacked. On May 13, 2003, Deborah was shown a six-person photographic lineup and picked out two of them, number 3 and number 5. She positively identified number 3, presumed to be Rob Holman, and said that number 5 might have been the other man. Because of an emergency that arose, Deborah had to end the interview and reschedule. On May 19th, Deborah was back at the Fannin County Sheriff's Office. She was hypnotized and again shown a photo lineup. Deborah picked out the photo presumed to be Holman again, but chose a different photo for the second man than the one before, this time photo number 6. She put her confidence level at 80% for number 6. Investigators also said she provided more details that she hadn't at the first interview. 6 months later, when the Texas Rangers came on board the case, Deborah told the story again to them. It was reportedly much the same and extremely detailed. Again, she identified Rob Holman as one of the men she saw. Because his attorney advised him, Holman declined to speak with the Texas Rangers during their investigation, which didn't even last 2 years. They exited the case because it failed to clearly link any suspect to Jennifer's murder and lacked physical evidence, a cause of death, and, this is important to the Deborah story, no credible witnesses. There are several reasons to be skeptical of Deborah's account. The speed limit on Highway 78, first of all, where Deborah claims to have seen the attack, is 70 miles per hour. Locking eyes with someone on the side of the road who isn't moving, as she claimed she did with Jennifer Harris, seems unlikely at that speed, or even 10 miles per hour less at 60. Deborah described what the men wore, two in jeans and one in shorts, which, too, at that speed seems a little far-fetched. And positively identifying one of those men with 100% certainty seems absurd. Deborah was certain about Rob Holman, but not certain about the other photograph she identified. This seems convenient, especially considering Holman was suspected by many in the community, and his face was well known. Since the Highway 78 bridge and the road on either side of the state line is only a narrow two lanes, with virtually no shoulder, it seems reasonable to presume that if such an attack were taking place, it was nearer to the banks of the Red River, where the men attacking this woman would have been less likely to be seen. That would have made the event even more difficult not only to see, but especially to positively identify details such as eye contact, faces, and clothing. Sunset on May 12, 2002 was at 8:15 p.m. We know that Jennifer Harris was at a friend's house until just before 8 p.m. The lack of light would have made seeing the event take place that much more difficult. Anyway, Deborah claimed it took place at about 5 p.m., which, considering sunset, is a significant discrepancy. And if she did see such a thing around that time, the victim could not have been Jennifer Harris. I'd also never describe Jennifer's brilliantly red head of hair as reddish brown, as Deborah did. Also, if the woman's mother ever corroborated the story, it would surely have been reported. That was never mentioned, though. Some might cite the hypnosis angle in favor of Deborah's story being truthful. But here's something about that. Information collected under hypnosis, though thought by some to be useful in criminal investigations, is not useful when considering truthfulness. Even under a deep hypnotic state, a witness can willfully lie. Besides that, memories contaminated by experience, which happens to everyone, aren't magically corrected under hypnosis. And someone who is lying, to take it a step further, can simulate that they are in a hypnotic state when they are not. Whatever the case, Deborah's story won't be able to be told again. She and her mother have both since died. Sheriff Talmadge Moore, third-generation Fannin County lawman, retired in 2004 after serving four terms. As a 16-and-a-half-year sheriff, Moore, or T. Moore as everyone called him, held that position longer than anyone else had in the county. T. Moore's successor, Kenneth Moore, said in 2005 that while there was a slew of reports on Jennifer Harris's murder, files and interviews, physical evidence was almost completely non-existent. Though rumors were rampant that evidence in the case was either missing or damaged, Sheriff Kenneth Moore denied it. In 2009, however, when private investigator Jim Holloway, hired by Jennifer's father, Jerry Harris, requested to look over evidence, a blouse, bra, and jeans thought to belong to the victim, Fannin County authorities told him the items were missing. It turned out, though, the sheriff's department said, that evidence had only been mislabeled. The high turnover in the department had led to a poor paper trail. Sheriff Kenneth Moore told the media that he intended to send the items to a Fort Worth crime lab, but was awaiting the Texas Department of Public Safety to put in the request. Sounds promising, but it's not over yet. Donnie Foster won his bid as Fannin County Sheriff in 2010 and began his first term the following year. Foster was chief deputy when Jennifer's body was found, and in fact was among those who pulled her from the Red River. Mr. Harris told the media in 2015 that he'd seen the physical evidence with his own eyes, but that it had been missing for 5 years, all of it, and Fannin County could offer him no explanation as to what happened to the items. The missing evidence includes Jennifer's car keys, a laptop, and her cell phone, and, of course, the clothes. It's unclear where all of the lost items were originally found before they were lost again. Sheriff Foster said he wanted nothing more than to solve the case, but simply couldn't get the evidence. Richard Glaser became the county's district attorney in 2005 and took special interest in Jennifer Harris's murder, the county in his charges only unsolved murder case. D.A. Glaser allocated special funds specifically for it, but commented in 2017 that the case was in bad shape. Missing evidence, damaged evidence, and evidence that likely isn't even evidence at all would make it hard for him, Glaser said, to take anyone before a grand jury for Jennifer's murder. Like Sheriff Donnie Foster's predecessor, Kenneth Moore, his tenure was relatively short. In 2017, Mark Johnson took over the position. One of Sheriff Johnson's promises on the campaign trail was to Jerry Harris, the promise to reopen and start anew the investigation into his daughter's slaying. He made good on his word when he became sheriff, but was crushed with what he found. There was plenty of paperwork in Jennifer's file. Missing posters, case reports, business records, and newspaper articles. But a lot of it was damaged because of the way it was stored, in storage pods behind the sheriff's office. Among the items Sheriff Johnson said were completely gone were Jennifer Harris's Jeep keys, laptop, and cell phone, and the bra, blouse, and jeans found that are thought to have been hers. "It's just been mishandled," the sheriff told the television program 48 Hours. "The day that I came in here and looked at her case and opened these boxes, I wanted to sit down on the floor and cry. We don't have any good DNA in the Harris case," he said. Sheriff Johnson said he wants to solve the case more than anything, but it has to be done right. Upon following what he called new leads, he said, the trail goes back to the same place it did all along. "I feel like I know who did it," Johnson commented. "I just can't prove it." There appears to have only ever been two suspects in the murder of 28-year-old Jennifer Harris. Her ex-husband, Rob Holman, and boyfriend slash former business partner, James Hamilton. Both, of course, deny involvement. There's far less speculation and rumor concerning Hamilton, which makes sense on some levels, including the fact that he wasn't a local Bonham boy. But there are certainly some indications that he was capable of killing Jennifer. Hamilton has been described as controlling, violent, and abusive by the mother of his child. Once, when that child was an infant and crying uncontrollably, she said, he picked up the family cat and threw it against the wall. During an argument in 1999, shortly after Hamilton told her he was having an affair with Jennifer Harris, the mother of his child said he pinned her against the car, his hands clenched tightly around her throat. Just 2 days after Jennifer's disappearance, Hamilton suggested that searchers look for her in the Red River, according to Jerry Harris. A year after Jennifer Harris's death, the mother of Hamilton's child contacted Mr. Harris and told him that Hamilton had given her a small angel figurine with red hair, like Jennifer, on what was called the anniversary, which presumably means the anniversary of Jennifer Harris's death. She filed a restraining order against the man shortly after, it appears. Hamilton's alibi, hanging out with a friend at a McDonald's an hour away from Bonham, seems less than credible, and according to an investigator brought in by the TV show 48 Hours, alibis for the suspects were never fully vetted, and this one could have been, even though the sheriff at the time of the initial investigation and Sheriff Mark Johnson are said to have both ruled James Hamilton out. But as far as Johnson is concerned, that might not be true. And then there's motive. Besides the fact that Hamilton is alleged to have been abusive to the mother of his child, there's the matter of money. The company Hamilton and Jennifer owned together was all in her name, including the loans taken out to get started. When the company failed, it was pretty much all on her, and that's why she had to file bankruptcy. 2 months after her death, Hamilton phoned Jennifer's father, Jerry Harris, and asked him about a $2 million life insurance policy on Jennifer, in which Hamilton believed he was the beneficiary. Money is, of course, a popular motive for murder, but there are many more. When Jennifer Harris was missing, Rob Holman was taken to the Fannin County Sheriff's Office and read his rights before questioning. The man wasn't under arrest, so not only is it unclear why the cops chose to do such a thing, but also, and naturally, it made Holman nervous from the get-go. Since he didn't have an alibi witness, it's really no wonder. Driving around drinking beer for 5 hours on desolate country roads does sound like bullshit to a lot of folks. But it wasn't just the nervousness and the piss-poor alibi that got detectives' attention. Holman told the cops that about a month before she went missing, Jennifer Harris and he met up at a local drive-in theater. According to Holman, Jennifer told him she was pregnant and that it was his. He didn't believe her, Holman told investigators. He thought she was lying in an attempt to get him back. Holman told them that he and Jennifer fought heatedly at times and that she was hot-tempered, that everything had to be her way. He didn't deny that sometimes their fights got physical, but said he'd just grab and restrain her when they did. Jennifer Harris and Rob Holman had been romantically involved in some way for around 20 years when she was killed. Considering the rumors of Holman's involvement in Jennifer's death around Bonham, it's almost shocking that no one has ever claimed abuse on his part, which would certainly take those rumors up a notch. However, it is important to remember that, according to her sister, Holman raped Jennifer near the tail end of their marriage. Rob Holman continues to deny ever having seen Jennifer the night she disappeared. Upon re-examination of Jennifer Harris's body in Dallas, it was found that whoever killed Jennifer Harris had not cut out her uterus and left ear. Rather, they were destroyed by turtles and/or fish. It isn't uncommon for such creatures to aggressively feed on carcasses in water, including human carcasses, and the longer a body is in water, of course, the more likely it is that it will be fed on. Turtles and crawfish are incredibly common in the Red River, as are the aggressive feeding and often gigantic fish, alligator gar. The rumors that Jennifer's uterus was cut out by her killer or killers, however, have not stopped. There has been talk that her body would be exhumed in the last several years, but that's never happened. Jennifer's father hired private investigator Daryl Parker to look into his daughter's case. Parker is not one of those grifting-type PIs. He's an ex-sheriff's office lieutenant, and like Jerry Harris, a Marine. He's the real deal, fully dedicated to Jennifer's case, and has been now for years. Parker has certainly uncovered some interesting information. Fishermen say that there are only two spots on the Red River within a several-mile proximity of where Jennifer's body was found that something known as blue mud can be found. Jennifer's body was covered, apparently, in this blue mud. Private investigator Daryl Parker found one of the spots where the blue mud was at the bottom of a dirt road that leads directly to the river. It's more or less a boat launch. Just up the bank from there, a small caretaker's cabin used to stand, but it had burned down. In an incredible coincidence that is virtually impossible to overlook, the cabin burned down the same night Jennifer Harris disappeared. Perhaps, then, not such a coincidence. Parker had the area around the cabin excavated along its foundation and drained the nearby well looking for evidence. He believes that Jennifer met whoever killed her there on Sunday, May 12, 2002. This cabin was burned down, Parker thinks, to destroy evidence. Nothing has been discovered there that links the area to Jennifer Harris, though. To this day, Daryl Parker refuses to let the case go until whoever is responsible is held accountable for the terrible act. On Tuesday, April 7, 2015, Jennifer's father held a press conference at the Grayson County Courthouse. Grayson County borders Fannin County to the west. There were two main points discussed at the conference, the first being the missing evidence. Jerry Harris also told reporters gathered in the East courtroom that he was troubled by the Fannin County Sheriff's Office's lack of cooperation with a television program who he said wanted to come in and look at the case. That show was Cold Justice. Mr. Harris was not alone in his frustration and criticism. Area residents, as well as folks from all over Texas, via social media mostly, became angry with Sheriff Foster because it was said he continually denied the television show's requests to come to Fannin County and take up Jennifer's murder case. But Foster said nothing could be farther from the truth. He was in talks with a representative from the show, and, he said, they canceled several times. Sheriff Foster claims that he wanted the show there, but simply could not get them to come. That statement, though, is in contrast to another he apparently made to ABC TV. Sheriff Foster told them he didn't want too many hands on the evidence. That, he said, would compromise the case. Jennifer's father, Jerry Harris, thinks, however, that the sheriff didn't want the television show there for fear the supposed mishandling of the evidence would be a big focus of the program. When asked by a reporter what he thought cold justice could do for Jennifer's case, Mr. Harris replied that the case needed fresh eyes. Perhaps, he said, they'll see something no one else has. He went on to clarify that comment by saying he personally knew of several things that every agency who has had a hand in the investigation has missed. Mr. Harris said that Fannin County authorities hadn't contacted him in years, something he said alluded that no investigation was happening. Jerry Harris said the department letting in the TV show would renew his faith in them. He'd later get his wish, to a point, it was a different show. Sheriff Foster's successor and now former Fannin County Sheriff, Mark Johnson, said in early May of 2017 that while Jennifer Harris's cell phone and computer were missing from evidence, he was able to recover documents made from the inspection of both. Those documents, along with other evidence, Johnson said, provided him with two suspects. Presumably, those two suspects are Jennifer's ex-husband, Rob Holman, and former business partner and ex-boyfriend, James Hamilton. James Hamilton, it should be noted, was suspect number one during the Texas Rangers investigation. In 2016, Barry Wernick, husband of Jennifer's sister, Alyssa, began filming a docuseries on his sister-in-law's death. Barry said that finding out what happened, who killed Jennifer Harris, will provide the family a reprieve from the agonizing uncertainty they face daily and provide something that resembles closure. Though the idea of total closure is likely an impossibility, an almost absurd notion, really, justice does bring with it, usually, answers. Answers do help mend, even if the scar never goes away. Jennifer's sister, too, continues to fight for justice any way she can. Jerry Harris's quest for justice for his daughter has exhausted him. With the rumors surrounding suspects and theories came scrutiny of the way Jennifer chose to live her life. He thinks about the last time he saw Jennifer every day. It was a week before she vanished, a week before her murder, when the two took a fishing trip together. She was wonderful and amazing, Mr. Harris said. He's still hopeful the case can be solved, but the pain of losing his firstborn daughter is excruciating. 16 years after the discovery of Jennifer Harris's body, in 2018, the TV news show 48 Hours aired her story. In the program, the woman who found Jennifer's Jeep talks about how the rumor mill grew to include her. Stories that she saw Jennifer that night, too, were circulating. But the woman never saw Jennifer. She only found her Jeep. After the 48 Hours segment aired, rumors again ran wild, and Fannin County authorities received new tips. One such tipster called the local Fox affiliate, News 12, and put them on a three-way call as he phoned the sheriff's office to report what he had witnessed back in May of 2002. As the man crossed the bridge over the Red River, on his way back to Fannin County, Texas, from Choctaw Casino in Durant, Oklahoma, he saw something unusual. Something so unusual, in fact, it seems unbelievable. The tipster said at the time he didn't think a whole lot about it. It was only now, presumably after viewing 48 Hours, it struck him the individual was getting rid of murder evidence. He saw a Bonham resident he recognized, the tipster told the news and the cops, standing beside a green van. This person was dressed in all black, but for some reason wearing white gloves, holding two trash bags. When the person saw they were spotted, I think is what the tipster is saying, he got in the van and drove off. Sheriff Mark Johnson told a news person that the call, and the three others he'd gotten the day after 48 Hours aired Jennifer's story, was exactly the result he was hoping to get from the program. But apparently, none of the tips panned out. Or, like the call we just described, there was no way to confirm or eliminate them, especially after 16 years. As far as the man in black with the green van tip, like in the case of Deborah back in 2003, a lot of detail was provided for someone who was traveling down a road where the speed limit is 70 miles per hour. It's been nearly 20 years at the time of this recording since the death of Jennifer Harris, and though several Fannin County sheriffs have come, worked on the case, and gone, and the Texas Rangers, the Rangers Cold Case Unit, the state's Attorney General's Office, the FBI, and two private investigators have all tried their hands, the case remains unsolved. If you have any information about the murder of Jennifer Lynette Harris in Bonham, Texas, please call the Fannin County Sheriff's Office at 903-583-2143. For updates on Jennifer's case, the Justice for Jennifer docuseries, to donate, or for information on the $50,000 reward, please go to redrabbitjustice.com. We'll provide a link in the show notes. You can support Gone Cold at patreon.com/gonecoldpodcast. Donors at all levels there get the show ad-free, and for just $2.50, you'll have access to episodes featuring stories of mostly solved Texas crimes and the bad actors who perpetrated them, such as The Slayer Saint, and our latest there, The Tourniquet Killer Part 1, among others. Part 2 of that will be up as soon as humanly possible, just to let you patrons out there know. Thanks so much to everyone who supports us there. We could not do this without you, and we appreciate it beyond words. We recommend checking out the 48 Hours episode titled Murder on Red River, which was used as a source for this episode. Also used as sources were the Texoma Herald-Democrat, the Fannin County Leader, the Texas State Historical Association, CBS News, and KXII.com. Thanks for listening, y'all.